So today I bring you a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. The reason I bring it to you today is going to be revealed in a minute. But basically this reading was key in my understanding what I was going to talk to you about today. So it's chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 and also 25. I skipped a verse because it gets to be going on and on. But I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother shall be liable to counsel. And whoever says, you fool, shall be liable to the hell of fire. And then he says again, make friends quickly with your accuser while you're going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Thus endeth the reading. So, true story. Last week, somebody out of the clear blue sky said to me, why are you angry at me? What? Angry? What? Me? I'm not angry at you. Why would I be angry at you? I hardly even meet you anymore. So I'm like, this is interesting. So I go home, and I ask Ed, this happened. Do I seem angry to you? Did it seem that I get angry a lot? And so Ed starts, like, looking down and shuffling. And I'm like, really? I get angry? So, yeah, okay. I get angry a lot, and especially lately. And so I had to admit it. When do I get angry? Apparently, I am angry so much that people think I'm angry at them directly. I get angry at the television for the news. I get angry at global climate change. I get angry at lying, racism, and other things. In general, I have three main triggers. I've been thinking about this a bit now, and I'm like filtering it through. And the three main triggers, not all the time, I can get angry at other things, but these three things are in order in which I feel, in order of increasing awkwardness, me telling you all this. The first one is when things don't go the way I wanted to. The second is when I don't feel heard. And the third is, and this is really awkward for me to admit, is when I am wrong, and I know that I'm wrong. But why shouldn't I get angry? It's so easy. Anger, it's like junk food. Actually, specifically, it's like Cool Ranch Doritos. They're salty and crunchy, and then you are full with regret and nausea when you finished eating it. So my inner geek goes, okay, let's go back to physiology. What is anger? Well, it's a natural response to a stimulus. It's the thing that happens when you're scared or you feel attacked. It's the fight part of the fight or flight instinct. So it's a natural thing. It happens in our amygdala, which is in the middle of the back of the head. And that is the part of our brain that we share with our reptile friends. So it's an old part of the brain. It starts up real fast. And what does it do? It starts making adrenaline and cortisol course through your veins. It starts your heart pumping faster because either you want to fight the enemy or you want to get the heck out of here. And so your muscles are all tense. You're like ready for something. Personally, maybe, but we may sweat. And our body does that because it's an evolved response to make sure that we have enough energy to withstand what it's coming at us, because our body still thinks we're living in caves. We haven't evolved past the living in caves yet. It's too soon. So this response is a natural response. It's something we have built in, like sneezing and yawning, like getting goosebump. So it's involuntary? Not really. Because unlike reptiles, we have evolved more brain. We have more brain, and the outside of the brain, the thing that the reptiles don't have is the cortex, the prefrontal cortex that stops any impulse from taking over, or at least tries to do something, all right? Not always working, and that's why people tell you, count till 10 when you're angry. Also because the cortex knows that in 10 seconds it can, the effect of all these amygdala-related incidents, it'll go down. So the response starts fast, ends fast. We have the cortex. Fine. Why do I stay angry? Okay? Why do I keep being angry all the time? So much so that people out of the blue ask me, are you angry at me? Why do we stay angry? Well, there's all those chemicals coursing through your body. There is a state of mind. There are the neurons. Anger is carving a path. It's leaving a footprint. And it's putting your brain in the shape of anger the more you get angry. So it's not an involuntary response. Maybe the initial trigger might be an involuntary response. I'm angry. But the continuation of anger is actually a habit. But you know all this. You probably know, I mean, I'm preaching to you yous, right? You probably also know that people that get angry have a worse quality of life and lifespan, shorter lifespan than people that don't get angry. So what? All right. We got the body response. I got a little scared. I don't want to have a heart attack. I know I'm reaching that age. Okay? That doesn't make me stop being angry. I'm still angry. I know why. Perhaps I get even angrier because I feel like I'm being put in a class of people that are like no hope. Okay? But we're not just our bodies. Whenever we experience something at the physical level, we experience it in the part of us that you can call the soul, you can call your mind, the part that is greater than the sum of its parts. We're all here today because it's Sunday and we get something out of being at church. Thank you for coming. So there is this link. Why do we keep hurting ourselves? Or do I keep hurting myself? So reflecting to the fact that anger is natural, kind of like a tornado or a tsunami or a volcano, anger is a natural response. It's neither good nor bad, but the effects of anger are kind of scary. Everything that is confrontational starts with anger. First spark in hate, abuse, family feuds, mass shootings, war. It escalates. The more angry, the more you want the Cool Ranch Doritos, the more. They contagious and escalate-y. On a personal level, nobody wants to be the angry person, the angry guy or gal. Nobody wants to be on the receiving end of anger. Because anger makes us forget what we really stand for. And again, I'm preaching to you, so let's talk about the first principle, the worth and dignity of everyone. When you're angry at someone, do you think of their worth and dignity? Hell no. You want to establish justice and equity in human relations. When you're angry, not so much. And the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all went out the window that moment in which you're like, I hate you. All right. The thing is that at a simplest level, when we're angry, we can't even smile. Try it. Get angry and then try to smile. Can't do it. So I totally get that the people who are angry inflict suffering on the people that they're angry at. Okay. But what took me forever was to get how much the people who are angry also suffer. I didn't see that. I thought, oh, this is a craving. It's not a suffering. I know. And so when I did the reading I just did, the Gospel of Matthew, I found that because I'm like, okay, let's see what the sacred texts say about anger. And of course, the Old Testament is all about anger. But then chapter 5 in Matthew is the chapter that starts with the Beatitudes. Okay, blessed be the poor in spirit. So it's the part where Jesus is so like cool and accepting and welcoming. And then chapter 21, verse 21, he just does an about face and he starts going, fire and brimstone, you are going to burn in the fire of hell. Why did Jesus turn into this Old Testament guy, I thought? And so, and especially the one about making friends with your accuser. Make friends quickly with your accuser while you're going with him to court, so lest you be put in prison. And then I started thinking about it. In a literal sense, he was talking about something that actually probably happened in Palestine in his time, but in a metaphorical sense, in a parable sort of way, because that's what, you know, this is all about. This is what Matthew is all about, the parable. You know, it's something so that you can relate to your own experience. The parable is that when we're angry, we are in jail. When we are angry, we're in prison. In our head, we're not free, because the punishment for anger is anger. But I still didn't see it as suffering. Because to me, suffering is, ow, stop it. Pain, physical pain, mental anguish. How can something that is so outward radiating be mental anguish? And then I went back to the definition of suffering. To suffer from the Latin means to carry, and now I have a prop, which... So you carry the weight of your anger on you, on your shoulders. The weight of a habit that is not really healthy, and it's sort of like holding a glass for 20 seconds. For a half a second, the time it takes the amygdala to be activated, this is not heavy at all. Try holding a glass of water for half an hour in the same position, and suddenly it's the heaviest thing you've ever touched. And it's not just that. The other thing that it is that the more you stay with your arm overstretched like this, the harder it's going to be to change it back to the normal position. So it's a pain of habit because it's a pain of change. We don't want to change our anger. That why is so difficult. That is what anger does. It makes us suffer because it occurs over and over and we can't seem to stop it. Can we stop it? I have a narrative device for you. I know. I'm going to avail myself of the box of wonder. Anyone tell me what's in the box of wonder? You know what's in there. Anyone else? Air. Yes, there is air in the box of wonder. Well, let's move on. Let's move past that. No, no, people in my family cannot answer because they know. Nope, nope, that's a different sermon. That's the uncertainty sermon. Excuse me, what? Anybody want to come and see any little person or big person or brave individual that doesn't bite? No? I know. Alex, why don't you see what's in here since you're here? You sit in the front pew, so that's awesome. Yeah, yeah. You need to show it to people, though.
Okay.
He's opening the box for those of you in the back pews, and he picks up, what is that? It's a potato. All right. This is a potato. How many of you eat potatoes raw? Really? Like a huge potato salad worth of potato raw? No. What would happen if you ate a huge potato salad serving worth of potato raw? Excuse me? Yes. Depending on the potato, you may also hallucinate, depending on the variety of potato, because the potato contains some things, some alkaloids, for those of you who are not familiar with that, drugs that make your stomach hurt, possibly, and may or may not, the stuff, probably the original potato from South America was a lot more hallucinogenic than this, but this is from the farmer's market, so maybe, you know. Yes. Okay. So we don't eat a potato when it's raw. We can eat a little piece and maybe be okay. Don't tell, you know, may she rest in peace, my grandma would have had a fit, because that's the thing that, like, no, please don't eat a raw potato because it's really bad for you. Some people appreciate raw potatoes. I get it. But you can't really eat a lot of raw potatoes. Kind of like anger. Stuff remains in your body and makes you feel poorly. So to the potato, what we do to deactivate it is to cook it. We cook the potato. I'm going to be doing that to this very potato tonight. It gets softer, and you can eat it, and it's fine. It's natural. It gets cooked, and you can eat it. So how do we do that to anger? How do we cook anger? Well, you did a little bit of that in the meditation, which you did a great job because you didn't know where I was getting at with that. But if you're angry, you need to feel it. I understand that there are people here that think, oh, that doesn't apply to me. I never get angry. Anger is impossible. I am not allowed to get angry. Well, you need to feel it even when you don't think you feel it, because not looking at it makes it worse. So you need to feel it and you need to sit with it, which is really unpleasant. Okay, you're angry and all you want to do is just, and then instead you sit with it. You take care of it. You take care of yourself. Will you notice? You slow it down. You see if you're still angry, you try to smile. And if you're still angry, you can't smile. And you have to be honest with yourself, you know. If it takes you 20 minutes, like if I boil this, it'll take about 20 minutes. You know, you notice it. And I don't know, you know, if this happens to me, I don't notice that I'm getting angry until I'm in the middle of anger. I've gotten better lately because, you know, I told you, people ask me if I'm angry all the time now. So I've been paying attention, but in general, I can't look at it unless I'm inside of it. This gets better if you feel it, you let it steep, you don't run away from it. And it's hard, but it is possible. It's possible for all of us to do it because we all get angry and we can all get unangry. As an example, I want to bring you, Thich Nhat Hanh is a saintly man of meditation. It seems strange that he would get angry, ever, because he's got it down, right? Yet, during the Vietnam War, he heard that the U.S. troops had bombed a village in Ben Tre, and one of the people involved in the bombing had said, well, we had to bomb the village in order to save it. And he wrote this poem, which is emblematic of what happens to us. It's entitled For Warmth. I hold my face in my two hands. No, I am not crying. I hold my face in my two hands to keep the loneliness warm. Two hands protecting, two hands nourishing, two hands preventing my soul from leaving me in anger. So he feels angry too. It's just what you do with that angry feeling that matters. He didn't go there and start another war with Colin Powell, who said that. He just wrote a poem and took care of himself and tried to do the best he could. So this is the thing we do first. If you get more advanced, if you sit with it, you may know if it's coming. Like I said, I've had opportunity to know what my triggers are. So if you find yourself in a situation where you're getting triggered, where you start to get angry, if you can see it a mile away, what do? You take care of yourself. You speak to your anger. You say, hello, anger. Hi. Oh, hi, I'm here. I am mindful of you. I will take care of myself first. When we remember that feelings are not good or bad per se, but the consequences of feeling can be good or bad, we can start slowing down and gain empathy. But what when we find ourselves having a fight with an actual person, not Fox News or things outside that are not interactive, but what if you're having a fight with a person? What happens when you're in the middle of saying things you can't take back? How do you fix the damage caused by anger? Well, number one, you take care of yourself. You take care of the anger, you move yourself away from the place of anger and say, I can't, right now I can't talk, I'm taking care of my anger. But then, I know this is even harder than just sitting with the anger, but it is possible. As an acknowledgement of our interconnected existence, you must ask for help. If you're taking care of yourself and you're honestly making an effort to overcome anger, you say, help me, I'm trying. I'm suffering. Help me. Help me remember that I don't need to be angry. And if you're one of the lucky ones or one of the people that don't think that anger is a big factor in your life, please help us all that have anger. Help us remember. This is how you can be a reminder. Breathe with us. Breathe instead of us until we can breathe ourselves. So ask for help. And expand it if many people do this. This is the way to build a loving community. To stay in relationship with people you tend to have problem with. We're not good all the time. I've made that perfectly clear about myself. We have anger, we have feelings. But if we try and take care of our feelings and we are compassionate towards ourselves and other, we can stay in relationship. We can have what I interpret to be right relations. You don't have to agree all the time. You can just be nice. So the title of the sermon, because I had to give it to Mary Johnson on the 15th of June, is called The Upside of Anger. And that is the title of a movie. And when I wrote the title, I was desperately trying to figure out a way to have an in to righteous anger. There has to be a time when anger is righteous, right? Then I went back the other way. I swung back like, no, 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 never, 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 ever, 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 anger, no, no, no. And then I finally landed on the upside of anger is when you recognize it. The upside of anger is being is coming on the other side of the feeling and of being aware of it and not let it do damage. So acknowledge anger. Admit we suffer. And I don't know if how many of you saw the Ware lecture. Cornel West said something beautiful. He said, let our suffering speak. This is how you build community. That's my attitude. But let our suffering speak. Ask for help. Connect with others. Remember our faith. If you're a UU, you want to promote the worth and dignity of everyone. You want to use compassion in human relations. You want world peace. You want all these good things. Smile. Continue smiling. Try to smile when you're angry, and it's not fake. I promise you it's not. It changes your view. Be kind. And I know it's hard. I've already said it a couple of times. This must be hard at first because it's a habit. We have a habit and we have to break out of a habit. To do so, we need to water the right seeds. We have to water the seeds of mindfulness instead of anger. And all emotions are habits. And habits are seeds in our consciousness. And so if you find the right ones and you start watering them, you can overcome your difficulties. Maybe so.